Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first episode of QP Talk in the Maritimes. I am Nick, your host, joined alongside my co-host, my very good friend, Brother Chris Watson. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well tonight, Nick. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We got a lot of exciting stuff planned. I've been looking forward to this all week, as I know you have. You are away right now with so much going on in the labor movement. I just want to first and foremost ask you how things are going up in Fredericton.
Things are going pretty good up here right now. We're just getting ready to go into meetings here the next few days, and we'll get ourselves prepared for what lies ahead.
That's exciting. Let's give a quick introduction to this great show. I'm really excited about telling everyone what we're doing here. I can't think of anyone better than yourself to start off this introduction and maybe a brief little idea of just who Chris Watson is.
Thanks, Nick. So, for those who don't know me, my name is Chris Watson. I come from the home local of QP 380 in St. John, which is custodians, bus drivers, and maintenance repair workers. I've been there for 21 years, and I've been involved now with the union since about 2010. Most notably, I guess recently, being appointed as the interim president for the New Brunswick Federation of Labor, following the sad loss of Brother Daniel Legere. But I also sit on the executive for my own local, as well as an area vice president for QP 1253. And I sit on the District Labor Council and other different committees, QP National Committees, facilitator, organizer. I try to do it all.
There's no question. I you won't get an argument from me. I am Nicholas London. My home local is 380, which is, as Chris said, custodians, bus drivers, maintenance. I am also the recording secretary for the executive, and well, I certainly sit on the St. John District Labor Council. It's something I really enjoy. Hope to further my union experience being there. And that's what the great thing about QP Talk is there's guys like you out there, Chris, who are trying to get the word out there on different things going on. And one of the big things right now that are going on, and I don't think it's a hidden secret, is all the stuff surrounding 1190, QP 1190. Just wondering if you could shed some light on that for our listeners.
Yeah, so what we do know is that 1190 has been without a contract now for a few years. They have been in negotiations the last few days, pretty intense negotiations, as we've seen from their updates on social media. We do know that they're currently still involved in talks. Not sure exactly how they're going. We'll get an update, I'm sure, soon. But in the meantime, we are encouraging everybody that uses social media, primarily Facebook and things like that. You can find I support QP 1190 things, and we're encouraging people to either change their Facebook profile picture or change their Facebook banner and just more share their logo. Or, if you feel obligated or if you feel obliged, you can call your MLA. And have the discussions and tell them, make sure that they get to the table and offer real wage increases.
I think it's one of the biggest issues. Whenever I hear wage increases, and I was just recently at the grocery store, and I just got to throw this out there. And I know you can relate, but as somebody, as a father of kids and buying different things, I went to pick up, and this is muffins, which isn't all that much, but they were $8.99. Now, muffins used to run you at $3.99, And when they were 50% off, you were getting them for $1.50. It was a good deal nonetheless. But $8.99, but they say we don't need a wage increase. I don't understand how we can live in today's society with what they want to pay us versus what everything else around us is costing.
I couldn't agree with you more. When we hear different people from the public sometimes might say, you should be thankful to get 1%, 1.5%, 2%. That doesn't sound too bad, but when the cost of everything's gone up, that 1%, 2% doesn't bring the same buying power as it did 10 years ago. That 1%, 2%, when you get low stagnant wages, doesn't actually equate to very much. If you're on the higher end, 1%, 2%, 3% means a lot more. But we know that
Yeah.
PP 1190 workers, along with 1253 and some of the other groups, the wages are on the lower end. They're not making 30, 40, $50 an hour. So the government's got to come to the table with real meaningful wage increases.
If this government has learned anything watching the prior government that was in power, it almost seemed like as if they had forgotten about the average person here in New Brunswick. And it was really sad because there are a lot of great people right here in the province of New Brunswick. And it was like the government just didn't think anyone, the prior government didn't think anyone was worth giving that wage increase to. How important is it to you that Susan Hall realizes just that, how important it is to give back to QB and to this province and all of its workers?
No, you're right. I think it's very important that the premier recognizes the need for higher wages. It's the only way to get more return and investment back into the province. When the wages are low, you're forced to go to big box stores and try to spend your money versus supporting something local. It when you have a higher wage, it comes back well. So in order to keep New Brunswick thriving, we need to see that higher wage. I do know that, some of the negotiators on government side are people that have been there under the previous government regime and continue to be there. So it might be beneficial, like I said, to call your MLAs because at the end of the day, the government does have the final say, as we know, for I guess we'll say sealing the deal.
I like that. At the end of the show, I'm actually going to put up the memos that 1190 had sent out just a few days ago for you guys to take a look at. But one of the things I want to do right off the hop is discuss the fact that QP in the Maritimes is really important. We don't want anyone to think that, hey, we're just discussing New Brunswick because we all know QP in the Maritimes. Well, QP Talk is all about Prince Edward Island as well. And Chris, our family over there, our friends, and they too have a lot on their plate. What can you tell me about QP PEI?
Yeah, so I have reached out to some comrades over on the island, and one of the things that they're seeing over there is an underpaying of workers. So it's not something that's just here happening here in New Brunswick. We see the same thing happening there as well. Underpaying workers, privatizing of services, and just a blatant disregard for workers in general. When we talk about the different things that are happening here, it does have I guess, a ripple effect across all the different parts of, not only in the Maritimes, but I guess throughout Canada. And that's why it's important for us to try to make sure that we make a difference here, because it ultimately will make a difference in other areas as well.
That's one thing about you being the Federation of Labor president is you have a lot of people that you deal with, I would almost say on a daily basis, but definitely on a weekly basis. when you think of everything you're doing, how often are you going to have to be in the know when big things like privatization and all that are going on, like in Prince Edward Island? Yeah, how important is that you always are up to date with that kind of stuff?
Oh, it's definitely, I guess, important to be up to date on a lot of that different stuff. And I mean, obviously, I know that there's some things that groups can and cannot say, but it's important to be up to date on it because at the end of the day, as the, I guess, as the Federation, that is the House of Labor here in the province of New Brunswick. And when we're in the know, we're able to help more. But ultimately, as the Federation, we take our lead from the affiliates and our QB affiliates that are at our executive table here in New Brunswick. We have our regional director, Sandy Harding, and we also have our provincial QB New Brunswick president, Stephen Dross, there as representatives. So they give us updates quite regularly, and we're able to help out. I do know that over on the island, we have Carl Percy, who is the Federation of Labor president over there as well. And I know that he'll be in contact with QB over there. So that's just another avenue, I guess, to make sure now that we get the information so that we can adequately fight back against privatization, help fight for better wages, and help fight for a better New Brunswick and a better Prince Edward Island to make the Maritimes a thriving place.
I do want to say you brought up a name there, Sandy Harding, and I think it's only right that we acknowledge the fact that she had given us the okay to pilot shoot for QP Talk in the Maritimes, something you and I are both very passionate about, and with all the ideas that you and I have on different things that we're going to be able to do with this platform, interviewing different executives from around the Maritimes, covering things that, social media is great, but it again will only get you so far. This gives people a chance when these shows are available on their podcasts, on their phones and in their cars and on their iPads, and this is just going to take it to another level. So I do want to quickly say thank you to Sandy, and I hope that this ultimately will meet her expectations and that you and I will be able to thrive at this for a very long time to come.
Yeah, no, and we do, we do got to give thanks to Sandy and the whole QP team for allowing us to spearhead this, I guess. And you brought up a good point too about social media and things like that. And it just kind of came to my mind about we do hear issues. Being a member facilitator, we do hear issues a lot from the different from the different members that say, how can we get people involved? How can we do this? How can we do that? So, this is just one more opportunity, I guess, for us to try to get members involved and try to get information out there because we know everyone leads busy lives, but this gives the opportunity to members, just to sit down. They can put it on while they're, making supper, whatever it is. But this is just another great opportunity to try to strengthen the labor movement.
I want this show to be almost like the news to the labor movement. I want people that are curious of what's going on in and around the Maritimes, and I want them to say, hey, we need to tune in to QP Talk. That is where it's going to be at. And if anyone can get this job done, it's going to be you and I, as far as making sure the people are aware, making sure that different affiliates throughout the Maritimes that want to post these shows on their websites, they will be able to, because it doesn't matter who you are. If you want to hear what's happening in QP Talk in the Maritimes, you got to tune in. We guarantee you it's going to be great. We are going to give you the best that you and I can. And with that said, we are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about New Brunswick, a little more about PEI, and just how in the heck Chris can balance QB Talk along with everything else he does in the round of a week. So, Chris, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. All right, we are back here on QP Talk in the Maritimes, the very first episode. And of course, I am Nick, joined alongside my comrade, my very good friend, Chris Watson. Chris, what's the answer, man? How do you juggle it all?
So the way to juggle it all is to work with your team. You're an executive. You're not elected alone. So you need to be able to work together as a team. You need to rely on those around you to help you. Because if not, you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to get what we like to call the leadership blues. So you need to be reliant on those around you and surround yourself with a good team. And that's how you do it, really, at the end of the day.
That's really well said. No, really, that's really well said. I couldn't agree more. You know, it's funny because, you know, sometimes we're so tired out, we're so stressed out, and yeah, we keep moving forward. And very similar to the labor movement is when things are hard and we're fighting, it's the will to not give up and just keep moving forward, because there is going to be a good part that's going to come later, as long as you're willing to put up the fight to get there. And, you know, I can say that for QP members from coast to coast, for that matter, that, you know, we're always willing to fight for what's right. And like you said, better wages, job security, all those things are such a big pivotal point for us. And you know, giving up just isn't in the cards.
No, you're right. Giving up isn't in the cards. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we put these long hours in. That's why we give up, sad, but we give up time away from our families. We give time away from work. We do all these things because at the end of the day, we're in it to make a difference for our members and to make a difference for everyone in the province of New Brunswick and as well as PEI.
And just to pivot a little bit, I did that for one person who will know who it is when they hear this. But I also want to talk just for a couple of minutes about our dynamic, maybe that's not the right word, but our goal with this show. Like we talked earlier on the phone about how when there's an issue with like a certain like healthcare and being able to bring on some people from the province of New Brunswick and the province of Prince Edward Island and be able to talk about it and give an opening. I think stuff like that is going to be so unique and something that has not been done, or certainly not been done on this level for a podcast for people. And you know, that was kind of like you threw that at me. And it stuck right to the wall because I haven't stopped thinking about what you said earlier about that. And I just thought, you know, I understand it. I'll take credit when something's mine 100%, but like that was you. And I just thought like that is a great, that's what makes this so great.
Yeah. And it is a good opportunity. You know, if we have something that's precedent involving, say, education workers, and, you know, we have the ability now with this to bring on somebody from the education component and they can talk about what the issues are. We can reach out also, like you said, to someone in Prince Edward Island, and we can bring them on together. We collaborative. We can talk about what the issues are there. We can talk about what they are here. We can talk about what works, what doesn't. And ultimately, I think at the end of the day, it's going to strengthen the Maritimes and make us an unstoppable force.
I love that I just kind of put that on you right there, but I just think you're so good when I just don't tell you what I'm going to bring up, because I think that you're generally just really smart and you don't give yourself enough credit. So it's kind of why I put you in that spot right there, just for that one reason. Let's talk a little bit about Stephen Dross. He is the president of CUPE New Brunswick. Somebody that you and I have been around, certainly you a lot more than me. What are your impressions of Stephen Drost?
Oh, I know Steve. Steve's a hard worker. He's given a lot of years to his members. He comes from the 1418, which is the sector for, oh my gosh, it's the for social development. And
Social.
so I know he's provincial president there for a number of years, and always stood up for injustices and everything, and represented his members well. And he's also done so here with CUPE New Brunswick for the last so many years. I know Steve has announced his retirement in April, so I would like to publicly wish him well on his future endeavors. He's not done yet, so we still got him for a little bit of time right now. So I do want to wish him well, but happy to be able to call him a brother and able to call him a friend.
Now, because I did that, I also want to mention Ashley Clark. I think it's, somebody who I have never met. You will have to tell me, what about Ashley? By the way, my apologies, president of CUPE Prince Edward Island.
So I don't think formally really have met Ashley. I have been to a couple of rallies where she's spoken at. And let me tell you, she knows how to get a crowd motivated. And I was ready to take on whatever it was she was selling at that time, because I tell you, her passion and her drive that she brought to that microphone, boys, I couldn't be more excited to potentially have the opportunity to work with such a great leader.
Nice. Now, we got a few minutes left. Obviously, this is our first show. We've certainly given the introduction. We've let people know what our game plan is, but I want to spend the last 5 minutes talking about your mentor, Mr. Danny Legere. Somebody who meant a lot to you. I'm not trying to get you emotional on the show, but I think it's only right that we take a few minutes and talk about him, because he left behind a legacy that I'm not sure will ever be matched.
No, you're right. It's Danny Legere has left quite a footprint, I guess, on the labor movement. He was president of CUPE New Brunswick for I think 14 years, coming out of CUPE 1251 Corrections. Was a general vice president with CUPE National Executive Board for a number of years. Regional vice president before that, and in past president here now, I guess, of the New Brunswick Federation of Labor. Danny's been one of those people who's just, he has pushed many, many people within the labor movement to become leaders. He pushed myself from, going to the microphone for the first time and getting on committees. And I owe everything to that man. Basically, and I'll say that I owe everything to that man for as far as me coming out of my shell. I was always a pretty shy person at convention, not wanting to rock the boat, not really wanting to be seen. And Danny could see something in myself, and I'm glad that he did, because he encouraged me. Well, I shouldn't say he encouraged me. He voluntold, which is something that the labor movement knows all too well. He voluntold me to go to the microphone and speak on something, and then he left the room. He didn't give me the opportunity to refuse, and it just it, it, I've only grown from there. And I hear that same thing from a lot of other people. that they've grown in the labor movement because of Danny. He had a real ability to bring everybody together, whether it be in just generalized conversations or creating public sector coalitions to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to have their voice heard.
So and I love that.
It's going to be missed.
I love that you told that story about being voluntold, because you told me that story in private before. And I just think it's one of the funniest stories. And I've also reminds me of like you and I believe it was Brother Wes with the equality statement. I think one of the trainings that you were actually facilitating when I too don't like to speak. And I think it was Brother Wes who said, Nick will read the equality statement. And I was like, I didn't even have a chance to say, like, what? No. Like, I don't do a lot of public speaking, but put me on the spot and I did it. And, you know, sometimes that is really what we need, is someone to voluntold us to do something.
Right. And no, you're right. And that's the way the labor movement works. I remember one of my very first committees within CUPE New Brunswick, I believe, was the Pensions and Insured Benefits Committee. And there was a member from a nursing home sector sitting at the table behind me. And all I feel is this tap on my shoulder as they're opening the floor for nominations. And he says, hey, you're young. I think you'd be good at that. He says, I'm going to go nominate you. And I'm going, oh my God, you're going to nominate me. And he got up and nominated me. And I just said, sure, why not? And I accepted my nomination. And I get to learn all about pensions. So, you know, sometimes if you don't step out of the box and take those chances and take those risks, you're not sure of what your full potential is. So I encourage anybody that's kind of on the fence about getting involved and whatnot, do it. You know, you don't actually have to start joining up in committees, but you can just attend a rally and attend an information session. And that's how it starts. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be a CUPE group. You can go support somebody else and say, hey, I'm from CUPE. I support you. And just go and be there.
It's definitely the future. You know, it's all about the future. And I have a whole list of people I could sit here and name off each individual who got me moving and put me from my comfort zone right out into the middle of the ice. And I took it and ran with it, and the rest was history. But with under a minute left to go, I've got to say, number one, you're out of water. Number two, this has been an incredible start to the show. I have never been so impressed and so excited about the future of CUPE Talking the Maritimes like I am right now, Chris.
No, same here. For those who know me, know I like to talk. So what better opportunity to have CUPE talk, where we get to talk everything union and everything CUPE that's going on here in the Maritimes.
Chris, I think the world of you. I can't wait to do the next show. We will announce prior to the next show, because we will be rolling, what the topic will be, and we'll be discussing it. So, Chris, I want to say thank you for taking the time, being on the first show. I absolutely love you. I can't wait for the future. So, I'm Nick London. That's Chris Watson. And we are extremely proud to have you guys here and listening to CUPE Talk in the Maritimes.
And always remember, hope is stronger than fear.